part of your subtitled Why Your Cell Phone Shouldn't Be Your Alarm Clock. Explain that, Annalise.
Well, you've got this microwave radiation right near your head, and what we've learned from some of the scientists that have done the earlier studies is that the frequencies and the modulations of our cell phones happen to be the very frequencies that human beings are particularly sensitive to. So you don't want one of those little microwave ovens, and that's what they are. They're a low-powered microwave oven sitting right near your brain. That just doesn't make common sense. But what you can do is learn to use your cell phone a little bit more safely with a little bit more common sense. You're going to want to keep it out of your pocket, especially if you're a male, George.
Hmm.
And that's because there have been studies that have found that men who carried their cell phones in their pockets had something like a 30% lower sperm count when compared to other groups of men, of course, that didn't carry a cell. And then there was this brand new study that I just got the other day from Fertility about how sitting with a computer on your laptop can heat up the temperature in a gentleman's nether regions, which could also affect sperm quality. So there's a lot to be said for these phones and these laptops in certain places of the body. You want to be careful where you hold them and where you're carrying them. I think that's more important than anything. So if you're going to carry your phone with you all the time, try to tuck it into a briefcase or a purse. And now they're holsters that are made of special shielded material that can actually reflect the phone's radiation away from your body.
Well, you know, it's interesting you even bring that up, Ann, because, you know, it is a proven fact now that it appears that the ability to reproduce, specifically with men, has gone down dramatically over the last 10 years. And what have we had over the last 10 years but an increase in cell phone usage?
Very true. I mean, and you can say that for the animal kingdom as well. I mean, we've got a real problem with those frogs out there. I mean, it's true. But
do they have little cell phones?
Well,
I'm not sure.
No, but they're
I don't know. you actually answered that question.
maybe they do. I mean, they're marketing these cute little cell phones to, you know, kids that are three years old. Maybe the animals now have them. I don't know.
But
they're exposed to all the microwave radiation from the cell phone towers, you know, and the wireless routers and everything that we're being exposed to. And, you know, we've got a problem there in terms of animals, of insects and birds and the bees, you know, that are disappearing. So the rise in some of these problems has really correlated pretty dramatically to the amount of these what I call freaky frequencies that are abounding on planet Earth. So the idea is that if you're going to be using any kind of cell phone, do me a favor, just don't carry it in your bra, which is what a lot of women are doing these days. And you really want to be concerned about not carrying it in your pocket if you are a male. And there's also concerns about carrying anywhere on your hip because of the effect that the blood-producing bone marrow might have due to the effects of this microwave radiation. So the intensity of it really lessens with distance. It's very common sense here. So just keep it farther away from you, at least 6 to 7 inches, and then, you know, you're safer.
Do you see cell phones and cell phone usage as one of the biggest problems to face us right now with this entire energy issue?
You know, that is a really loaded question because I can answer that in a variety of ways. I see it as being a problem for a lot of reasons. Number one, because people interact a lot more with their gadgets than with each other. You know, you walk down the street and you come out of, I don't know, the movies, or you're in the movies and everybody's, you know, has to check their emails or the score or the weather tomorrow. And it's amazing. You know, we're hooked on gadgets, as they say. And I think many of us are paying a mental price. So there's that aspect to look at, the psychological aspect. But in terms of what I think may be the most dangerous, to be honest with you, I don't think, George, it's necessarily the cell phones. I mean, what we're learning is that the cordless phones that everybody has in their house, they can be 100 times more risky than using, you know, a cell phone. And a lot of researchers from Sweden are warning that these cordless phones are much more likely to cause problems in your brain, like brain tumors, than the cell phones. And that's because of the way that these cordless phones work. The charger is constantly emitting a type of radiation at heavy-duty strength, even when the phone is not in use, and so does that handset when it's off the charger. So you're getting a little mini cell phone tower right in your house. So I'd say the cordless phone's a problem. But the takeaway here is, as much as you can, try to replace the cordless with a corded phone. And that's pretty doable right now.
Well, it may be so. Now, there seems to be some confusion. You've talked about studies, including the one released about the 13-country interphone that you were talking about before the break. Why don't you elaborate a little bit more about that?
Well, that was this huge study that everybody was waiting to hear about. It was a 13-phone interphone study. And we were one of the only countries, quite honestly, that didn't even take part in the study. And that was the study that really didn't have very much conclusive evidence to suggest about whether or not cell phones, in fact, created brain tumors or not. In fact, they came out and said that the certain kind of use of these cell phones might even protect against cell phone the protection against the risk of having some kind of tumor. I mean, so it was very. It was very confusing. It didn't really make much sense, but you have to understand that when you take a look at the whole study that came out, there are individuals that took a real close look at it and said that there were many major design flaws, and one of them was that the protocol defined a regular cell phone user as somebody that used the phone for at least once a week for 6 months or more. And the concept here is that we're using cell phones a lot more than just once a week for 6 months or more. I mean, we're using them for an extended period of time. And the study, the interphone protocol itself, excluded young adults and children. And they're the ones, you know, that have been brought up on this stuff, George. I mean, they use it morning, noon, and night. The subjects of the study were only between 30 and 59 years of age. So the idea here is it's really the young kids, the young adults and children are at a much greater risk from exposure than adults. They've got thinner skulls. Radiation can penetrate more deeply. They're still developing. And I think that the other thing here that probably would concern me is that there was an exclusion of other brain tumor types. It wasn't just the tumors that were the major tumors that were so deadly, you know, that Ted Kennedy, for example, died of the glioma. But the study actually excluded many other types of tumors as well. And so I think it wasn't as accurate as it could have been. And they excluded even those people that had these very dangerous brain cancer tumors. They excluded them because they died before they could be interviewed or they were too ill to be interviewed, so they were completely excluded from the study statistics.